The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back to the programme. Well, I nearly uttered a few beeps myself this morning when I read in the Irish Mail on Sunday that Oscar winner Emma Stone could become the highest paid actress in Hollywood thanks to a groundbreaking new deal. She could get up to $50 million for just one film. And I want to talk about it because we're going to just move on to our entertainment panel. This week I'm joined by John McGuire, film critic and journalist with the Business Post, and podcaster Esther O'Moore Donoghue. John, it's a groundbreaking deal for Emma Stone. She's going to get a payment every time Disney Plus screens her new Cruella film.
Good for her. Get paid. Get paid, Emma Stone. I'm delighted to read this news. For years, not just Disney, but the major studios have exploited the talent that, for most of us, are the reason why we buy a ticket and go in the door. So for somebody like Emma Stone to make a successful film like Cruella, which was released in the middle of the pandemic, released in cinemas and on Disney Plus at the same time, was seen by this unknown number of people. We can't really estimate how many people Disney know, but we don't. And for her to get paid to an extent like this is great. It's great news. The money is there. Why isn't it distributed evenly amongst the talent?
I'm absolutely delighted for Emma Stone, but it does, John, come against this context of the pandemic wreaking havoc and, you know, with streaming and everything else. And some actors are actually taking legal action saying, I'm not getting enough of the cut.
That's right. That's Scarlett Johansson, who has a case ongoing against Disney at the moment for the fact that she thinks she was undermined. The streaming undermined her potential to make money from her deal that she had for Black Widow. But these things will be ironed out. Ultimately, this is a fairer distribution of massive amounts of money, Disney being the largest media conglomerate in the world. They own almost everything. And for them to distribute what they're earning more evenly amongst... I'm waiting to see a director or a screenwriter or, you know, somebody else make a payday like this as well.
Esther O'Moore Donoghue, do you think, obviously it's a great deal for Emma Stone. Is it a good deal for the talent if this is a precedent that's set?
I think it's a great deal for the talent. Yeah, if you're getting some of the back end or, you know, getting points. I think historically they were given points. I don't know exactly how that works. But of course, yeah, if they can, I mean, the money is there, as John said. So it's, I mean, if they've got a great agent, they can negotiate it into their deal. I mean, you know, the more the merrier. You haven't got my invoice for today's segment. I mean, it's not going to hit, it's going to be pretty steep. So you'd want to just tip out the back of the couch there because it's going to be quite something.
I'm just sitting here, note to self, swap radio for Hollywood. But stay in. Donnybrook for now. Look, John, let's go to you first. You are a German romantic comedy with very gentle sci-fi elements.
That's right.
What this are you proposing we should be watching this weekend?
This is I'm Your Man. This is a German, like you say, romantic comedy. It's got that sci-fi touch.
What does that mean?
Well, it's about a single 40-something archaeologist at the Pergamon Museum in Berlin named Alma, who's played by Maren Eggert. And she's persuaded by her boss to participate in a scientific study into modern romance in order to get funding for her own research into decoding ancient writing systems. And for 3 weeks, she has to allow a humanoid robot named Tom, who's played by Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey and Beauty and the Beast, who's a really fine actor, and he's speaking fluent German here. He has been specially algorithmically designed to be the perfect life partner for her, her ultimate lover, thoughtful, kind, well-mannered, devastatingly handsome, skilled in the art of love and good at tidying up.
So what could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? She hates him. Of course she does. It wouldn't be much of a drama if she actually got along with him. But this is Maria Schrader, who's an actor and now a director, and I found it very enjoyable as a screwball comedy, a kind of a cross between Blade Runner for the robots and It Happened One Night for the romance. And it asked big questions about love, modern identity, our identity in a digital world. But it also cleverly inquires about frailty, dreams, memories, those kind of building blocks of personality that we all have that are carelessly piled together in flesh and blood humans, but are algorithmically lined up perfectly in robots or in artificial intelligences or in computers that we interact with every day. So that's very clever, and it's quite funny and it's quite sweet and it's very romantic, actually.
And you've convinced me, because initially when I thought a romantic comedy with sci-fi, I thought, oh gosh, here we go. Esther, if you don't want to go to the cinema and you want to just sit at home and watch something good, what is on your scorecard this week?
Well, we have on Netflix on the 25th of August, Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal and Greed is a one-off documentary series. And the Happy Accidents part of the title comes from one of Bob Ross's catchphrases, which was, "We don't make mistakes, just happy little accidents." And if you don't know, Bob Ross is the joy of painting around from 1983 to 1994 on PBS in America. And he became famous for creating paintings over the course of a programme. And he became well known for his curly hair, kind of became iconic. And personally, like, I've never watched a full episode of Bob Ross, but I'm still very aware of him because he's referenced so many times in pop culture. People dress up as him for Halloween. He's been impersonated on Drag Race and referenced in shows like Family Guy and Deadpool.
What is Netflix doing then with Bob Ross?
So it's a one-off documentary series. So it's kind of going behind. So his public persona was very gentle, calming, and he was kind of beloved. But this documentary, we look at the shockingly untold story, as they say, of his business empire, which was, again, a quote, hijacked by his once trusted partners, who a slow betrayal of him continued beyond his death in 1995. His business partners, Annette and Walt Kowalski, took legal actions with the aim of controlling the Bob Ross brand in perpetuity. And so it looks into that. And the director of the documentary is Joshua Rofe. And he directed previously a critically acclaimed documentary called Lost for Life, which looked at the prison service in America and people kept on parole. So it's going to be forensic and it looks interesting. So I'm interested to learn more about him. Because as I said, I know him as an icon, cultural icon, but I don't know anything about Bob Ross.
You have a little bit of an old school one from 1971 that people might want to tune into today.
Yes, that's on this afternoon. I actually watched. It's on TG Carr Plaza Suite at 4:35. It's also available to purchase on YouTube, which I did yesterday. And I think this is a perfect Sunday afternoon film. It tells three comic stories set in Suite 719 in New York's Plaza Hotel. And it's a comedy based on Neil Simon's 1968 stage play, stars Walter Matthau in three roles. And then Maureen Stapleton, Barbara Harris and Lee Grant all play the different female leads. And it's divided into three acts. And so it's very kind of faithful to the play. It's very the dialogue's very quick and pacey, and it kind of tells three stories. So in act one, there's a 23 or 24 year married couple that'll be explained in the film. They attempt to celebrate their anniversary, but it doesn't work out as planned. In act two, there's a sleazy film producer trying to seduce a high school sweetheart, a tale as old as time, we shall say. And then in act three, the parents of a nervous bride try to coax her out of the bathroom after her nerves get hold of her last minute. So yeah, it's very
old school. It's available to buy on YouTube though, isn't it, as well?
If you're out doing something today, you can't get onto TG Carr, it's available on YouTube. And also, interestingly, Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick are due to stage a revival of the play on Broadway in spring next year. If you're in America next year, go see it.
Well, let's come back to Ireland because, John, Irish director Ivan Kavanagh has a big film that will be hitting the big screen.
Yeah, that's right. It's in the IFI. You'll see it. It's called Sun. And this is a very versatile Irish writer and director, Ivan Kavanagh's new one. It's his first film set in America. It's not his first film, or it's rather his first film made in America, but it's not his first film set in America because he made a frontier western in Connemara last year. But this is the creepy kind of culty horror Sun. It's so brilliantly made, and Kavanagh is so talented that you have to imagine that the Hollywood is going to try to hang on to him after this film is released. In the vein of kind of Rosemary's Baby or Hereditary, is the story of a young woman who's played by Andy Maciak, who escapes from a satanic cult as a child and is forced really to confront her own past when members of the cult try to kidnap her 8-year-old son who has grown up outside. She's living a normal life and they come back. Mother and son go on the run with a detective played by Emile Hirsch, who was one of Kavanagh's kind of ensemble of actors. He's trying to protect them, but there's something not quite right with the young lad, or maybe there's something not quite right with her. It's Kavanagh's ability to kind of maintain that suspense right throughout the film.
Is that a tough role for a child actor?
Oh, well, I suppose they're well protected. They do. Mm. They don't see all they have to see. They don't see what we see, if you know what I mean. So they are well protected. But it is a tough film. I mean, Kavanagh doesn't hold back. He keeps the story moving with consummate skill, like I say, and he's dancing on that line between reality and fantasy to create the suspense and drawing on that ambiguity in the story to craft this kind of unnerving mood of violence and threat.
Is it thriller, horror, somewhere
it's horror.
In between?
It's a horror movie. No doubt about it, Durville. Yeah, I know. Yeah, a lot of people say the same thing. But it's the performances from the cast, a very talented cast that Kavanagh's arranged here. It's their performances that give all that kind of spooky, scary goings on the emotional core that you need in a story like this. And he does it very well. So that's called Sun, and you'll see that in the IFI.
Well, yeah, I know. Horrors. I try, but yeah, I need a lot of emotional support around me when I do. But to the small screen, Esther, you've been checking out I Am, which I think is it on Channel 4.
Yes, this is on Channel 4. It's actually aired now, but it's available on More 4 to watch, so you can watch it on your devices. It's the second series of this female-led drama anthology of a series of standalone programmes. And each episode explores themes of, around relationships, mental health and empowerment. It's directed by BAFTA-winning writer-director Dominic Savage. And in this series, Saran Jones, Letitia Wright and Leslie Manville are the actors involved.
Do they live up to previous incarnations?
You know, when I was kind of looking at this during the week, and I only watched the Saran Jones ones, and I thought it's not a comfortable watch. I mean, the camera work is all very close, the character's very tightly wound, but still I thought it was interesting. But for me, when I went on to watch the subsequent episodes, they weren't as strong. I kind of felt like a bit like it was like, you know, you're kind of when their actors were like improvise and you're like, oh, I don't know, it's really working. It was a bit sort of, it felt a bit indulgent. However, the Saran Jones episode I felt was the best for me personally. It's definitely worth a look. It's on, as I said, it's on More 4 now. Saran Jones, her character, her mental health is in decline. She's trying to maintain a facade of perfectionism. And the Dominic Savage worked with the actors to kind of pull apart themes that they've experienced in their own lives and kind of brought them to the screen. So it's definitely worth a watch, but it's not going to make you kind of come out of it feeling zippity-doo-dah and cheery, but, you know, definitely worth a watch.
John, I'm a bit of a secret fan of Montalbano.
Yeah, that's not a secret anymore, Dermot.
Which is just great, a bit retro. But for fans of Italian crime dramas, you've got something in store.
Il Cacciatore, this is streaming on All4, which is a free streaming service from Channel 4. You'll find it on your smart TV. And this is the true story of the Italian prosecutor and mafia hunter Alfonso Sabella. And it's dramatised in The Hunter, Il Cacciatore. Mm. It's a classic mafia drama that plays out over 12-hour-long episodes. Set in Palermo and in the countryside surrounding it in 1993. And it's about the war that broke out between two mafia clans when Barone, this young prosecutor on the up, played by Francesco Montanari, who people might remember from Romanzo Criminale, that superb film. And he uses his skills and his instincts to try to dismantle the organised crime gang and catch their leader, Bagarella, played by David Cocco.
There are so many depictions of life under the mafia, you know, and some of really, really good quality, others less. So where does this fit in?
Superb, Dervla, now I would call it. It is absolutely gripping right from the start. The evocation of Palermo at that time in the
1990s. Watching
Monday stuff. Well, no, because there's 12 hours of it. Now, you have to kind of draw it out a little bit. It isn't a binge. It's a complex story. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of characters. It's not in Italian. It's in the local Palermo dialect. So you really have to concentrate with it. So I wouldn't binge it. But occasionally those kind of mafia elements give way to melodramatic kind of soap opera elements amongst the cast. But the plot hews very closely to reality. And that's what makes it so scary to watch. It's kind of terrifying. And well worth investing the time in. The reality of what it means to live under the mafia is brilliantly portrayed. It's superb. So Il Cacciatore.
That's our dark, grippy stuff. Esther, give us a bit of crack. You've gone for My Cousin Vinny on Disney Plus.
Yes, this is available on Disney Plus now. So My Cousin Vinny tells the story of Vinny, an inexperienced lawyer. He's only practicing 6 weeks. He's never won a case, but he steps in to defend his cousin Billy, played by Ralph Macchio, and his friend Stan, who's played by Mitchell Whitfield, who, here's a little trivia for you, went on to play Rachel Green's orthodontist ex-fiance in Friends. Thank you. I can repeat that later on.
Your knowledge. So just go through that again. He's what now?
He plays, you know, if you watch Friends, Rachel Green's orthodontist ex-fiance is played by one of the people that Vinny steps in to defend very poorly. Anyway, so these two friends are traveling through rural Alabama. The cops pull them in. They think they're being interrogated for accidentally not paying for something in the grocery store, but actually the cops are trying to pin a murder on them. So it's kind of, you know, hilarity ensues. It's very funny. It's sort of fish out of water stuff.
Do you know what, Esther? I'm still reeling from the shock that you were able to make that connection for us. My head is still trying to go away with that. And unfortunately, that is all
No.
But are we a little bit more time? Brilliant. One more. Well, then, if I have one more, I want to ask you, John, about your final pick that you have for me. Very briefly, Nine Perfect Strangers.
Strangers. Yeah, this is the second shiny adaptation of a Leanne Moriarty novel from the super producer David E. Kelly after Big Little Lies. If you watch Big Little Lies, you're going to like this. Nicole Kidman stars again, who plays the serene and mysterious Russian owner of a health spa called Tranquillium. Her name is Masha. She's a very mysterious lady, and she invites these nine perfect strangers. I won't go through the cast list, so we don't have time. Bobby Cannavale turns up, Regina Hall, Melissa McCarthy. So she's investigated these people before they arrive. They don't know that they arrive, and she tries to fix them. But of course, people don't want to be fixed.
So you're two episodes in.
There's eight, I think, in this. Ten actually in the run. I'm not going back to it. I'm not going to go back to it, but I think people will.
It might be for someone else. I might have a wee look this afternoon.
That's on Amazon Prime Video, Dirk.
Thank you very, very much.